You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is Reese Koppler-Stanfield in Georgetown, Kentucky.
And I am Megan McIsaac in Oregon, Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
Hey, Reese. I'm having a blonde moment, but we're having fun, aren't we?
We are. We're having a blonde moment. It's okay. This week, horse show hangovers are real. Like, I forgot, and they are so real. All week, I've been like, it's the wrong day. It's the
wrong
whatever. Like, I can't seem to get it right. So we were just laughing because it's kind of been all week. And
yes. Something's in the water. My assistant and I have been saying the same thing. People are a full moon and it's not. It's been wild.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hear you. I mean, coming off a horse show. I mean, I think every person I knew was at a horse show last week. Like, it was crazy.
Not me, but tell us about your horse show.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, I had the plague. I mean, I got really sick.
You did.
So I still sound sick, but I'm significantly better. I thought on Sunday I was literally gonna die, but I really did. I was like kind of wiggly before I got on my horse. Thank God he was such a good boy. We actually had a great horse show. Forever Rock Me. I always get his name wrong. Rocky. Forever Rock Me. See,
it's tough.
Life is tough. He was awesome. First of all, it was in the Rolex Stadium. So you guys, yeah, exactly, have been kind of following my journey. If you've been listening all summer, I've been really methodical on how to take this young horse out. Because this one, he's a big guy, but he's actually quite sensitive. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, you know, I kind of had a plan at the beginning of the season. And I think it's good to always think about this with your coach. And, you know, I talked about it with my sister and Megan and, you know, just kind of talked about how I was going to show this horse. But I was really methodical and decided in June that I would go to a 1-day show. It was a double show, but I just took him on Saturday. He spent Saturday night and I showed on Sunday. And then I did that again in July.
Smart.
Yeah. Just because, again, I mean, it's just a lot just to stay in the stall and ride in the trailer and just the whole thing. And so then I was like, okay, in September, I think he's going to be ready to do the whole deal. And he was great. And in this show is hard because at the horse park, you stable pretty far away and have to walk up to the stadium.
That's miles.
It's miles. I mean, my feet are so sore. It's miles. It really is miles. And literally and figuratively. And you see all the things and the jumpers were setting up. I mean, the lunge ring was, I mean, he was so good.
Scary. It's a scary mile. I mean, golf carts are coming at you. Yeah.
Bikes, cars, other horses. Horses are going back and forth. And he really handled it beautifully. And I was really proud. I mean, he won High Point both days for the show.
Oh.
I had a 76-6 on Sunday and
from a very
senior judge. So I really felt good about that. And one of the things I kind of, and the lady's so sweet and she's like, oh my gosh, you know, she's like, oh, you won High Point at the last show. I thought you would move him up. And I kind of looked at her and I was like, oh no, he's not ready. Well, the last horse show was literally his second time in the ring ever with me. And I think some ways that's the culture. It's like, well, I did well. And I was like, he wasn't ready. I have to be honest, he was not capable on Saturday. He was very well positioned. He knew the test, and that was important because we'd go in that Rolex ring, and our ring, for whatever reason, the young horses are in the back. Like, there are three rings set up, but two are parallel to the stadium. And the baby horse ring, you have to trot straight to the stadium, like straight to you're looking at the whole thing.
Oh.
And, I mean, he was a very good boy, but I could feel him. He was like, mom, am I okay? And I'm like, come on, buddy, you are okay. And, you know, he listened, he went through, you know, he did it. And that was cool. And, you know, so I guess where I'm going with that is like, don't, if there's pressure to move up, don't take it. It is okay to go at the speed that you want to go. And that is totally normal. And I think that was really smart. I think I've gone at the speed that horse needed to go and without outside pressure. And now I feel like he could move up now. I feel like, okay, he's done the season. This was kind of our last horse show. It's the last one. There's some one day shows. I'm probably actually going to now just start training for Florida. And that's sort of my goal. But I was really proud of him. And it was a very strategic way to do it. And I think for this young horse, it was what he needed. So yeah, it was good.
Oh, I think that's so important, Reese, your message. You know, don't compare yourself to others. You and Rocky are on your own journey and you know him best. And that goes for everyone. And also on the flip side, it's easy to see someone's success. But you don't know what it took for them to get there. Yeah. You don't know what the horse is going through. There's a lot of internal horses. And I think that's just a beautiful message for all of us to take
your
home.
Time.
Yeah.
Take your time and do it the way, and you know, your plans change. But, you know, I really wanted this horse to get confidence. He really struggled with that. Importing him was a lot for that particular horse. Some do fine. He was frightened by the trailer and just by different things. And I've also worked a lot with Mary Rose, who's my young horse trainer. And she trains anything, you know, any horses. Mm-hmm. And I've worked a lot with her, with him, of gaining confidence with, you know, weird things coming up behind him. And I think that's been really good. So he was really prepared to horse show when I did it. And I think that was important. And I think that's good. And especially with young horses, I really wanted him to have a good start where he felt really comfortable. So that was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good job,
Reese. It was a great weekend. I know. High five, Rocky. He got some carrots on the way home. I was really proud of him. But Megan, we actually have a really good from a frequent flyer. She's on the podcast a lot, Lauren Spreiser. She wrote a great article for the Chronicle of the Horse. With glitter comes great responsibility and other tips for enjoying regionals. So we pulled this because everyone's kind of getting ready for regionals. There were people, our regionals for Region 2 actually happened the same time as my show. I decided not to go this year and stay home with Rocky. That was kind of always in the plan. But I'll start with the first one. The first one is, number one, accuracy is free.
I love that. So true.
So true. Know your test and practice your test, right? I hate when people are like, I don't want my horse to anticipate. It's like, no. We need them to know how to go up the center line, how to be straight, how to halt. You know, that's how you get your 70%. So I love that one.
And there's two center lines. So you should practice time and time again. Yeah. Yeah. Number two is watch videos of yourself riding your test, ideally with the camera at sea. I think that this is so important because I sometimes walk away and I'm like, what is that judge talking about?
Yeah.
And then I watch the video and I go, that's what that judge is talking about. She's right. We lack impulsion or whatever.
Well, and you know, actually it was so sweet. My dad came and videoed on Saturday, you know, and he actually was kind of behind seat. He was up in the stadium. And so it was an interesting view. Actually, it was a really cool view. And I could see exactly what the judge saw. I mean, it was still a high point. I mean, still a high point for the show, but our transitions needed to be better. Like my circle geometry, he fell in a little on the left side. So, which is usually falls to the right. So I was a little, caught me a little off guard, but it was really helpful to see it. And so that I could make some changes for the next day, which is good. So I think even during the horse show, you know, get it videoed so you can see it and make some adjustments. Number three from Lauren Spreiser's article, your turnout can either add or subtract from your presentation. Oh, buddy, this is big. I mean, again, she talks about tailoring your coat. That's actually really important, right? I am very lucky. I have a great tailor. She has been part of my team since I was 16. Is her name's Enta here in Lexington. She's wonderful. She knows my coats fit beautifully because Enta does them. And I come in and I'm like, I got a new one and she fits them. And yeah, it's a little bit of money, but it really is important. Also just making sure I know this is silly, but like you're clean. Like that's important. You're clean.
Yes, please. It's not that hard to wipe the boots off. Just do it.
No, yeah. Wipe the boots off, clean pair of gloves. You know, if you're getting your horse ready yourself, that is hard, but just have somebody up at the ring to help. I think that that's really important.
Mm-hmm. Number four is, in that vein, with glitter comes great responsibility. And it attracts attention. Some of it is beautiful. Some of it is not. So, yeah, I think that's a good message.
I think it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I looked up once, there was a girl at the show and she was also on a gray horse. And so I was like, oh, wow. There was so much glitter. It took my breath away. I was like, it was a beautiful horse, but there was it was a lot of glitter. And it was in the bustier region.
Oh.
not where you need to have it. And I'm not saying anything. I just, not where you need a lot of glitter. Just saying. So,
yeah. So,
this is also a really good one because depending on, I mean, it is still blazing hot in Kentucky, but have a plan for cold weather grooming. I think that's actually important. And like, pack stuff for cold weather grooming, like back on track or a sheet. Because, you know, if we had gone to regionals, it's in Michigan. So it's a good 6-7 hours north. It's up by Megan.
Yeah, in the tundra.
In the tundra. Like, it's already getting cold. I mean, it is 95 degrees here. And if we took our horses up there, you know, we didn't go, but woo, buddy. You know, I think it's important to do that.
Huge. Number six, study up on your rules. That is your responsibility. You know, make sure your vaccines, that you do them before you go to the big show. Your Coggins hasn't expired.
Nope.
And I love this. If you have any questions, ask the TD. They're there to help and educate us.
100%. 100% ask the TD. And if you don't see the TD, ask your trainer. If you don't have a trainer there, ask. Any trainer will help. Megan and I. Ask us. Like,
yeah.
Because if I don't know, I mean, I'm on the High Performance Rules Committee, but a lot of times I don't know the, like, I know there's a lot of rules that are in process sometimes in my head. And so a lot of times I have to ask too. And TDs, I think, get the rap that they're scary, but they're not. And definitely ask the TDs. Number seven, this is supposed to be fun.
What?
I know. Well, Megan and I, you and I have had this pact all summer to have fun showing our horses. Like, that's the first thing we ask each other. Yeah. We're like, did you have fun? Because sometimes it gets skewed and you don't have fun. And I'll tell you what, I have been, I mean, okay, there's not always fun showing a young horse, but in general, like, it's been quite fun. And that's been on our radar. And I think that that's so important to remember to have fun. So if you're getting ready for regionals or Sport Horse Nationals or the RRP, that's coming to Lexington in a few weeks, all these shows, do remember, we are riding horses in circles. Like, there's a lot of other things in the world, and have fun, because you're in there for 7 minutes. You're going to come in, you're going to come out, however it happens, and try to have a good time. So, we hope this is a good list for you as you're going to your regionals and you're getting ready for all the things you're doing this fall. We hope you have fun. Also going to nationals if you make it. We can't wait for that. But anyways, we hope you enjoy. Thank you, Lauren Spreiser, for another great list. We love her. And we have a great show for you. We've got a break from Kentucky Performance Products, and then we'll get into it. Formulated using synergistic blend of high-quality, potent antioxidants and micronutrients, AirWise is research-proven to help maintain healthy respiratory function. It has been shown to promote normal respiratory rates, enhanced lung function, support a healthy inflammatory response in airways, and maintain immune health. To see if AirWise, available through veterinarians, is right for your horse, speak with your vet. Visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974. Well, tonight I am so happy to have a friend of many, many years and competitor and FEI rider and trainer, Kate Poulin, on the show. Kate, welcome to the show.
Hi, Reese. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. And yeah, we won't talk about how long we've known each other, but we did Young Riders together. So we saw each other at the KDA horse show here. We were both here in hand grazing our horses on a quiet Saturday night. And we were just chatting. And so kind of fill everybody in that you've been on quite a journey, haven't you, my friend?
Yeah, unfortunately, right. I have. And it was really nice to see you last weekend. Last January in 2024, I was diagnosed with ER and HDR positive breast cancer. And a surprise, because sure. I had just had a mammogram in November and wow. was just lucky enough to, have an MRI with contrast. And found it. It was hiding. So,
oh my gosh, wow.
It's been quite the roller coaster since then. Yeah.
Did the doctor send you in after the mammogram?
No. So, when my mother passed away in November of 2022, I saw my OBGYN in the spring. And she's been my wonderful doctor for many years. And she was the one that said that I was now qualified for additional screening because my mom had passed away from it. So she was the one that got my MRI with contrast set up.
Oh, that is great. I mean, obviously not good news, but thankfully you found it early. So what happened then? Like, how did your journey kind of continue?
Yeah. So in January, you know, I get diagnosed and you have to go through like so many things like biopsies and meetings and and then you're finding out like, oh, I got the bad one. Oh, how did I AGR too? So I couldn't get out of chemo. I tried really hard. That's like the one thing I just didn't want. You know, I watched my mother go through it and I knew what it meant. So I had surgery in the beginning of March and, you know, pretty uncomplicated. They did accidentally cut this nerve in my armpit when they were taking my lymph nodes out. And I think that was, probably one of the most painful things to experience.
That sounds awful.
It was. It was terrible. That was probably one of the most painful things for about 4 months. Any type of little bit of movement in my arm was at least a 10 out of 10 pain.
Wow.
In April, started the chemo. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. How long until you were able to ride? Were you able to ride through those 4 months where you were in pain?
No, they didn't want me riding for, I think it was like 8 weeks was the checkup time. And then they gave me a blessing to do small things. And I had two horses and.
Go ahead, Kate. Yeah. No, because I was going to ask, you had a full barn. You had just moved to your new barn, a full barn. Like, how did you handle that?
It definitely, when I got diagnosed in January, it made me sit down with the barn owner. And when you're faced with life and death, it really made us look at everything. And neither one of us ever thought that I couldn't be involved and to help out. I was always part of this family that we had made over there. And so when all of a sudden I can't contribute, her and I had to look at everything and make some tough decisions on, you know, what can we do here? I had to let some people go, and I let four horses go. Tried to bring the barn down to a size that that we could manage while I was not able to contribute.
Right. So you were no riding for 8 weeks and longer because of the nerve damage. And then how did you come back? I mean, I think, and this is for anyone who's had illness or, you know, even riders who have had babies, like how'd you come back to riding?
Well, I've honestly, I started off brushing that brushing a horse, yes. anybody that's had lymph nodes removed, yeah. I mean, I could barely lift my arm and I could barely lift my arm. I also couldn't walk a horse. So I picked horses in the barn that I knew were slow and that would be forgiving and that I felt safe around. And I just, you know, talked with the owners and worked with my staff and people, they made it happen for me. You know, in the beginning, they'd put a horse in the cross ties for me. You know, sometimes I could only go to the barn just to say hi and to leave in the beginning because I was so fatigued from surgery and chemo. But eventually, I got a little bit better and better over time. Just, you know, I needed to move, you know, for circulation. I needed to do it for my mental health. Yeah. But, you know, just starting off with small things like brushing the horse, teaching, that was exhausting for me.
Sure.
And
sure.
then, you know, I started off just ride walking horses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And have you been following doctor's orders and taking care of yourself, focusing on you, or have you jumped right back in the saddle and are full force like all of us horse trainers are?
You know, no.
Yep.
This definitely made me put life in perspective, and I had the blessing from my friends and family to take care of myself. That was the most important thing last year, was it needed to be about me and mm-hmm. for me to heal. And I did that. And I'm really lucky to have a great group of friends and students at the farm. Everybody volunteered to take me to chemo. And if anybody has ever had a family member go through chemo, it's a process. Mm-hmm. And I think by me like opening up to be vulnerable and to allow people, you know, into that part of my life, that's a pretty vulnerable situation to be in.
Yeah.
I think everybody wanted me to take care of myself mentally and physically. So I definitely followed orders. I do not want cancer again. So
No, good for you. Well, and this is, you know, something I've been watching and obviously, you know, cheering you on, but you really have a cool list of products now. I don't even know if you're sponsored, but you really mm-hmm. kind of looked at healthy living, right? and like, I mean, that's one thing I was like, I want to know all these products because I think it's something to think about. So tell us more about that because I'm really interested in that.
Sure. You know, when I was, you know, you're sitting around, I was sitting around here for months, you know, and it's so easy just to get in your head. And I really like to have goals. And so I made it my mission while I couldn't ride to investigate the stuff in my home first.
Yeah.
And that just kind of led into what was going on in our barn. And you know, I talked to, you know, the owner of the barn, and her and I had just agreed that we both had the same idea that we wanted to make it a safer environment for not just me, but for everybody else. So we did start a new policy in our barn. Might not be, everybody might not like it, but we don't want to have toxic fly sprays in the at the farm.
And
to protect our staff. And, you know, the staff are there the most. They're applying the products the most. So, we just asked everybody to just share with us what they wanted to use because every horse is different. And we gave it an approval. And I haven't been able to find a replacement for some of the like the fly spray gels that go on your horses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if your horse requires those, we provide latex gloves to create a barrier for the staff.
I love it. So what are some fly sprays that are approved? Like what are some good ones?
Yeah. So like Sport Horse Essentials, they've been around a long time.
Yeah.
They have a non-toxic fly spray. The Infused Equine. They also have a non-toxic fly spray. The Gilded Paddock. You know, I was really pleasantly surprised. There are so many great companies out there.
Yeah.
So
that sounds like it. What else besides fly spray? I mean, I didn't even think about it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't have any of those.
Yeah, fly spray is a big one. Yeah. The shampoos. So that's something that I changed in my house was all of my soap products, anything from my laundry to hand soap have been changed in my house. So that's one of the things that we didn't require to be changed at the farm, but I made some personal changes and some of the other people have as well. So for instance, I have a lot of Spanish horses and they're all gray.
Yeah. So I feel you. Tell me more. I got a gray horse. Like, tell me. I need to know.
Right. And the gray horses, I swear, for some reason, those spots just don't want to come off. But, you know, Sport Horse Essentials has a really great whitening spray. I love it. Ooh. It works great. Almost everybody in my barn has it.
Ooh.
I'm writing this down.
Me too. I'm like, I'm making notes right now. I'm like, I am doing this. That's good to know. What else?
You all,
what else?
Reese, the great horse you saw this weekend, he uses that.
Oh, so
Sport Horse Essentials.
I thought it was like, oh, he's so white. I need all the whitening stuff. No, that's
my question is, does the fly spray still work? Non-toxic. I know it's kind of a silly question, but I find fly spray is so difficult to work.
I totally agree. And all horses are different. So we probably have 5 different kinds in the barn.
Okay.
It just depends on the horse. People in our barn have been willing to share to let other people test products out. You just have to explore and see what works for your horse.
Will do. I'm curious about these Sport Horse Essentials. What other products do you suggest for us?
Well, for the white horses, I also use the Gilded Paddock. They have a whitening and brightening shampoo, and that absolutely works. My horse is 100% white. He has no dapples on him whatsoever. So, and he was super shiny this weekend, and that's the product he uses.
Yeah, he looked great.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then tack cleaning stuff.
Thank you.
That was another one that I didn't even think about. I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh, it's unfortunately we're exposed to it. It's everywhere. But I've actually, you know, just stick with the glycerin soap. That's totally safe. And then I use a tallow based conditioner. And I'm trying to remember the name of it. I can tell you right now. Oh, it's Colorado Natural Balms.
Okay.
And tallow is like super hot right now, I think, for people to use. And it was something that I used on my skin while I was going through chemo. So I understood the benefits of it. And I now use it on my saddle and it's totally safe and it works.
I love that. And what about for your body products? I mean, I thought that was, again, definitely piggybacking off of you. But, you know, when I saw you doing this online, I started looking also and I was like, oh my gosh, like what is in my stuff? And so I also, you know, just kind of brought awareness to it.
Yeah, I love using these two apps on my phone. One is the EWG app, the Environmental Working Group. And then the other one is called Yuka. And the Environmental Working Group app is great for your cosmetics, your soaps. And then the Yuka is great for your food. And it will tell you, it gives them a rating and lets you know if they're safe to use, if they meet their standards.
That's fantastic.
So, you know, I'm very fair skinned. I have rosacea. And so sun protection is really important for me because I'll just look bright red. And I think I was pretty red this weekend when I saw you.
Yeah. Well, it was so hot. It was hot and the Rolex ring was like the Sahara Desert. Like it felt like you were walking the Sahara Desert. There was no shade anywhere. It was hot.
It was brutal. Yeah, it was so brutal. So I use this company called ThinkSport and they have an EWG verified stamp. So it's totally safe to use. They have different like ways to apply it, like sprays, creams, or even like on a stick.
Oh, fantastic.
So, and that's the sunscreen that I like. And I have really sensitive fair skin and I don't break out from it.
Oh, that's great. Well, my husband is like see-through white, so he's very fair. So this is, it's good. And I mean, I actually am big and skin cancer is runs heavily in my family. And I mean, I had a spot last year that scared me straight. And I mean, I am fully covered. I try to be covered all the time and still get sun. I mean, it's not because mm-hmm. we're in the sun so much. That's something that I'm really careful, but you know, again, having products that you're putting on your body, I think it is, it's just something, you know, brings awareness when you have a friend going through it. I was mm-hmm. watching and like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. like I need to be doing this. And I've been meaning to ask you. And so when I saw you, I was like, perfect. I'm like, girl, I have so many questions. Anything else that you've found that you've made some changes that, you know, I think making changes is hard until it's just part of your daily routine and it's not hard. Anything that you've found?
You know, I really love, you know, my beeswax. I use beeswax actually on my body when I was going through chemo to help, like, your skin goes through all these changes when you're on chemo and they want you to like lock in the moisture. And their recommendation is Vaseline. I'm like, it's like petroleum. Oh. So yeah. It's like, yeah.
No. Yeah.
It's like, hey guys, I'm not putting that on my body.
No, you already took.
Yeah. So I really. Go ahead.
Mm. I was going to say, you're already literally putting poison in your body. You don't need more.
Right. Yeah. So I really like, I use this beeswax on me. It was called Savannah Bee Company beeswax.
Yes, and I've seen this one. Yeah.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I love using it on the horses too. Like I've discovered this company from Australia, Buzz Bonds. And their product line is all beeswax based. And I use it on their hooves. It's fantastic.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love it. Well, I'm going to transition back to your riding because you're back at it full steam ahead, aren't you, girl?
Sure. I feel like it. Yes. I mean, yes. I was pretty good this weekend.
You look pretty darn good. I mean, and your horse, you know, he really, you know, it sounds like you're really getting this one and working through all the, you know, as we know, developing horses. So tell us a little bit about your current horse that you're developing.
Yeah. So this horse, his name is Fairmont, and I've been working with him since he was 5. He's 15. And and I've shared him with his owner, and that's, he was purchased for her, and he's done such a wonderful job for her. We call him Jonah in the barn. He's such a sweetheart. But he was one of the two horses in the barn that I could ride when I was going through chemo. And I've just not stopped riding him. His owner she's kind of relinquished the reins to me. I'm just trying to like finish him off at Grand Prix, and he gives me something to work towards. And that's important for me to have that, you know, on this journey that I have some goals. And I really love riding him and working with him.
I love that so much. Well, Kate, you truly are an inspiration. I mean, I it was so good to talk to you over the weekend in person as hand grazing and hanging out and just to hear your journey. You know, how can our listeners find you online if they have any questions or want to come and take lessons? How do they do that?
Well, I have a website that's katepoulin.com. But I'm very active on social media, and especially my Instagram page. You can find me there under my name, Kate Poulin Dressage. And I do review a lot of these products we were talking about on there. So if people are, you know, really interested in learning more about them, they could definitely find it there.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time tonight and telling us your journey. It's been fun to hear.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Chewy is your one-stop horse shop. From feed and supplements to supplies, medications, and more. Delivered straight to your barn. With fast, free shipping on orders over $49 and the convenience of auto ship,
You'll never have to worry about running out of the brands you trust and the products you need. You can count on Chewy to keep your barn stocked and your horse happy. Start shopping today at chewy.com/equine.
Well, tonight I'm really excited to have my new friend. I met her actually a couple weeks ago here at my farm at the FEI Certified Instructor Workshop. She was our wonderful demo rider, so I got to be friends with her there and followed her journey at the Sport Horse, Arab Sport Horse Nationals. Caitlin Hines, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, you are just adorable. And I've been watching you. And I mean, it was such a busy horse show weekend this last weekend. So tell us a little bit about yourself and about your experience at the Sport Horse Nationals, because I think this is the first time we've talked about the Arab Sport Horse Nationals on the show.
Okay. Well, I have actually been riding my entire life. We've always had Arabian horses. That's what my mom got. That's what I was raised with. And I started riding dressage in 2007. So I just bought a half Arab born blood and I just kind of learned. So I've been learning all along. And I started actually showing sport horse and dressage. My first sport horse nationals was actually in 2007. So I've been doing it for a while. And this year I took three horses, but only one riding horse. And we competed in the pre-St. George and then the I-1 and the freestyle. And at Arabian Sport Horse Nationals, we cover all the levels of dressage, from training level up through Grand Prix. We also offer the carriage driving, the hunter over fences, the in-hand, the under saddle, and also, in the jumpers. That's what we have.
Yeah.
So cool. We cover like all the sport disciplines, basically.
So cool.
So
tell us about your horse. Who did you ride?
So I rode Groovin, who is a 14-year-old purebred Arabian. He's like just above a pony, so too short to be a pony. And I'm 6 foot tall. So we are, you know, a little bit of an odd match, but when you see him in the ring, he does not look like he's as small as he is. I've had him since he was 2, and I have actually brought him up the levels myself as an amateur. So we started at training level, and currently we are schooling the Grand Prix.
Woohoo!
So I've had 12 wonderful years with him, and he is absolutely amazing. And if you know him, like if you've seen him, you can't forget him. He's kind of a special little dude.
He is awesome. You got to spend a couple of nights here at the farm. And I love that. So you were able, I mean, you rode a lot. So tell us, You were explaining off air that you can ride in the amateur division and the open division through Pre-St. George. Can you kind of explain that to us? Because you won amateur Pre-St. George, open Pre-St. George, open inter one, and you were reserve in the freestyle. So explain that to everybody.
So on the Arabian circuit, the amateurs are allowed to show in the open division and the amateur division. So we get to like have a little bit more classes to choose from. So I was able to show him. We actually started showing on Monday and the show ended Saturday. So he had four classes throughout the week. And so I was able to show him in the open divisions against trainers, and I was still very successful, obviously. So, on the Arab circuit, us amateurs basically have a broader selection of what we can show because we're allowed to basically double dip.
I love that. You can double dip, but you have to win too.
Yeah.
I'm a little jealous, but I really want to hear how was it competing at WEC in Ohio? I've never competed there and I really wanted to go to the championship or the nationals there. How was it? Give us the down low.
We love WEC. Our national show has actually been there since 2021. And then I think we're getting ready. They vote on if they're going to renew the contract, I think, this year at convention. But everybody loves WEC. The facilities are fantastic. They keep it clean. The stalls are nice. The arenas are beautiful. Like all the arenas, all the indoors, all the outdoors, plenty of workspace. So if you're not showing, you have plenty of room to work horses. And just the whole atmosphere of it, the sanctuary arena is amazing to show in with the big mural on the wall and everything. I think people will be really happy there at finals, especially because if it's cold, they can close everything up and everybody is basically inside. So, Super. So it's great. But the facility is just, they keep it so clean and it's so nice. The workers are nice. I mean, if you have an issue, they come and they look at it and try to fix it. I mean, it's just great how they handle things there.
That's fantastic. I love it. So you also have young horses too, right? Did they go to nationals?
I do. I have my 4-year-old actually stayed home this year. And then I had a little girl actually show my 8-year-old mare. She's had some health issues, so she's been off this summer. But the 14-year-old girl actually showed her in hand this year. And she actually won in the open division and the amateur division in the half Arabian mare's dressage type. So she had, this was only her second time ever showing at nationals. She showed last year and she went top 10 last year with my mare. So she showed this year again and she actually won both of her classes. So, which was really exciting.
So cool.
And then I had a 2-year-old that I took for just an in-hand class and she went top 10. So I think she ended up 8th out of like 22-year-old half Arab fillies.
Oh, wow.
So we had a really good show. But it's the type of show that, like, we see all of our friends from all over the country. And it's a lot of, like, you have trainers come in with, you know, some of the bigger barns, but you have a lot of, like, amateur-owned, amateur-trained horses. And it's basically one big fun week with all your friends.
That sounds awesome. What is your next goal?
So our next goal is show season is over. So, and as my coach, Jennifer Truitt, says, it is time to do the Grand Prix. So that is our goal for this winter, is to clean up the Grand Prix. I mean, he does have very green pee-off passage, and he does do some ones. And I have to learn how to count the zigzag. So,
yeah, oh, that's so hard.
So our goal is to work on all that all winter, and then hopefully, as long as we both stay healthy, that hopefully we'll be doing the Grand Prix next year. So
I love that.
Yeah. So we're excited. I mean, I know, like, we were all kind of excited for the show to be over just so we could, like, really start working on the Grand Prix. You know, you're like, ah, I really want to do this, but we can't mess anything up yet.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, can't really do that.
Yeah, you're like, we've had to leave it alone for, you know, a month or so just because it's like, okay, we can't mess anything up before the big show of the year.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. That is so cool. But tell us, I mean, you have been riding Arabs a long time. Tell us,
why
do you ride Arabs? Like, if that's a good question, like,
yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. Cause obviously, like, I train with warm blood people. I ride against warm bloods, you know, I'm tall, I'm 6 foot tall. So why am I riding for little Arabs? I mean, I was raised with them. But I love them. Like, I love their personalities. I love their heart. I mean, there's just so much about them that, like, I can't, you just have to love about them. I mean, they are like, Grooven, he is that ride or die type horse. I mean, he's going to go through fire for you. He does. I mean, there is no stopping him. He does not know when to quit and he just never gives up. And you can have, I think for me, I've been around quarter horses and warm bloods and thoroughbreds and a lot of different breeds, but the Arabs, you can just kind of get, I think, that more special connection, I feel like. And I think that's what keeps me coming back to them.
I love that.
So, and I mean, obviously, like, I have 2 half airborne bloods that I have bred. One's a Hanoverian and the other one's a KWPN. And I love them too. I mean, they have the size and the look of the warm bloods with some Arab pretty added in, but they also have the Arab personality where I just feel like they bond a little bit more with their people.
I love that. I really do. Well, girl, when you do your first Grand Prix, we want Zach, because I'm so excited to watch your journey with Grooven and see, because you're so close. And I think it is so cool. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing your journey. And what a show, girl. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And we're gonna keep you on our list, my friend. So
yes, thank you please so much. Thank you. Well,
tonight, I am so happy to have our friend Carrie Wilson on. She is an FEI rider and trainer. Welcome, Carrie.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm excited to be back on.
I know. We were trying to remember when it was, and it's been many years, so way too long. So we're thrilled to have you back. And you got to kick off Region 2 Finals. It's regional, and getting ready for finals. You're going to go to finals, and we wanted to hear all about it. So welcome.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm so excited. We had such a great experience, and we had the most beautiful week of weather while we were there. And I had five fantastic courses that I got to show in six different classes, and everyone showed up this week, and it was really exciting.
I love that. Do you think anything that you did prep-wise to get them to show up? I mean, that is hard to do, to get everybody to show up at the same time. So how'd you do it?
Yeah, it is really hard to do, but I've really tried over the years to, like in the last few years especially, to not over-prepare my horses, which is really hard for me to do. But I really try hard to have a day during the week of their work that they don't work. They don't do major collection and, you know, arena type activities. And I feel like it's really helped my horses stay a little bit better balanced. And one thing too, that one of my owners actually said to me that was really nice to hear, was how I try to build the rides in the horses and not go out there and try to get the nines all the time, you know, but like gradually increase the intensity of the ride in the arena. So when it came time to really press them, they weren't like overwhelmed or over it.
I love that. I do the same thing. I think that that's maybe our experience. All of us are pretty experienced now. And like, I see people at the horse show just absolutely working the heck out of them, and mine just kind of like go up, do a little stretch, going in the ring. Like, I feel prepared that I don't know. It doesn't mean, okay, you need to work a horse, you need to work a horse. But in general, like at the horse shows, mine don't work that hard, actually. You know, I try to keep it that it's like, come on, you're going to stretch, you're going to move your legs, and then you're going to go do your job. And I think it that does come with age. You can't say that I always did it that way. But,
no, I don't, me either.
Yeah. So I think that that's such a good thing to say, too. It's like, you know, have confidence in your preparation that you have prepared all season, because really at a regional and national, you're not going to be asking new questions. You're asking the same questions, right, that you've already qualified with, right?
Yes, exactly.
And so that idea of you don't have to train something new. And, you know, maybe when do you kind of stop? Like, I usually, a week or two before the show, we go into show mode. We ride the tests a few times. We maybe work on center lines. But how do you do that?
Yeah, so I also definitely ride a lot more center lines a week or two leading up to a show than I do in my typical riding. I'm not a big test rider at home. Yeah. So if I've never ridden the test, I'll probably ride through the test, but I'm more of a piece by piece type of practicer, I guess, if that's a word. And riding the test through and through.
Cool. Well, and how early do you get to the horse show? Because I've noticed, you know, some people get there 2 days early. Sometimes they actually arrive the same day they show. What kind of preparation do you do there?
Yeah, so it depends on how far we have to travel. For us, we were so lucky this year. Waterloo's like in my backyard compared to other things. So I only went down, I had a championship on Thursday, and the horse, you know, that fourth level championship, he really needed a warm-up class. So we went down on Tuesday so I could school, and then we showed on Wednesday. When we go to like Kentucky or things further away, I do travel a day early so that the horses only travel that day. And then we school the following day. But if it's close, then we only typically go, you know, the day before the show starts.
And you were pretty close to the show, right?
Yes, it's only an hour and 40 minutes, like door to door with the trailer, which is so nice.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, because for us, it would be opposite. It's like 7 hours, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Like for me, driving to you, right, yeah. For Kentucky. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. No, I think that that's so important because regionals can be really long depending on when your show is.
Yeah, it was. And like some of the horses didn't show every day either. I didn't want to burn them out either. Horses that were there for so long, you know, we had 8 horses there in total. And so not every horse showed every day either.
Yeah. I think that's really smart.
Yeah, it keeps everyone fresh, including the help, you know,
yeah,
and the rider.
And I mean, a 5-day horse show, I don't know y'all, but I mean, I'm by day 3, I'm like, there's not enough Starbucks for me. I'm out. I'm like, yeah. Whoa. And that's long. You have travel, you're in a hotel. I never sleep as well, but I try to like have my sleep. I try to bring my pillow and, you know, I try to make myself comfortable in the hotel because sometimes, you know, it's harder for me. So I think that's important to remember too.
Yeah, I agree. I never sleep as well away from home, but definitely try to bring some things that, you know, make it feel more like home. And I always go to bed early. Like I'm just, but I feel like I need to so that I have, you know, my wits about me for the
Is there anything else that you do for yourself at the horse show? Like for me, cold plunging is really important. And so when I have a big show, I find a facility that has a cold plunge and every night I go cold plunge. Is there something you would suggest to someone showing that you do for yourself?
You know, I guess I really don't, except for I go to bed early. Like, and maybe the only other thing is I need a little alone time, you know, after everything's done. Like I like to be just to shut down and not have to talk or, you know, go through all the different things that happened in the day over and over again. It's nice to just shut down and have that quiet time to decompress.
And how do you handle that? Because I actually find that most difficult, with my clients that I'm showing their horse, they don't understand that. And I've tried to explain that many times and, I haven't been successful. So how do you share that with people?
Yeah. I guess during the day when the clients are around and everybody's still at the horse show, I'm pretty available to them, you know, kind of an open book at that point. But I just decide when I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm, you know, I feel like I've covered all my bases and I leave. I don't always go to dinner with everyone either. Sometimes I do, and that's nice, but I don't do it all the time because it's too much.
So I just separate rooms,
I guess.
Separate rooms. I have my own room. 100%. The queen has to have her own room. I can't. I mean, I need my own space. I think that's don't be offended if your trainer needs their space.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
That's hard for me. You know, I mean, okay, if we're gone a night or two, but for 5 days, like, or 6 days, oh boy, like I'd build that in the cost. Like, I know that's going to cost more, but it's the same. Like sometimes I need to go home and the only thing I was going to add to it too is I really have to watch what I eat. Like I can't, I mean, girls, I love a pizza more than anybody, but like I have to be really careful on my diet that I try to stay, that I'm sleeping, that I keep my same diet. Sometimes that means I need to, you know, bring food or, you know, find something. Like I do try to be careful with that too as I've gotten older. I used to be like, man, I didn't care. I'd go to all the parties and whatever.
But, I know. Changes, unfortunately. Yeah.
We're all the same, like vintage. Yeah. Like I need to go back and I also, again, I love a glass of wine. Don't get me wrong, but I have to be careful too. Like I say to everybody, it's a school night and it is a school night. Like, it's like, I need to go home. I need to unplug a little bit. You know, obviously if there's an emergency, call me, but like I need to prepare for the next day. Like we need to leave it and go to the next day. And I've gotten better as I've gotten also older to say like, okay, like love you guys. Like have a great time. Enjoy the party. Yeah. You know, Big Mama's got to go and get some sleep. Yeah. So I think that's fine. And I think everybody has to be everybody prepares differently for shows and that long for sure. So
yeah, Yep, definitely.
I love that. Oh my gosh. So getting ready for nationals. So there's like a month and a half. There's maybe 5 or 6 weeks before nationals.
Yeah.
So what's the plan now? What do you do kind of in this interim time?
Well, so all of my horses have had, from the horses that were at regionals, have had pretty much a down week. They were all started back to work lightly yesterday, and then rode a little bit more normally today. The one thing I have learned over the years is that I tend to over prepare between regionals and nationals.
Yeah. It's a hard time.
It's a really hard time. It's good when it's not too much time between regionals and nationals, actually. But I do think at least I hope I have tamed that down a little bit. You know, like it's worked so far this whole year or over the years. Why wouldn't it work now for 6 more weeks? You know, the same training and the same techniques. So why change it, you know, just to prepare for nationals? And I don't take it lightly by any means. I keep myself up at night, unfortunately, thinking about it. Silly.
Sure.
But when I'm riding, I try to just keep doing the same thing. And like, yeah, there's a few things like I could work on a little bit from regionals, but I'm not going to grind at it day in and day out. I won't have a horse left.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. That is so cool. And great, and truly good advice, because that is tricky. And region 2 went first. There's another couple regionals this week, actually several regionals this week. And so, you know, being the first group is kind of like, no, I love that. And thankfully, it's not too long of a drive, right, to Ohio for you.
Yeah. It's like 5.5 hours.
Yeah.
So it's a little closer for me than to Kentucky, but I know everyone else has, a lot of people have to drive a lot further. So I'm thankful.
Yeah. I love that.
Really
love it. Well, cool. Well, Carrie, any other tips you have for people riding at regionals or getting ready if they haven't gone, or national championships, whatever they may be doing?
Yeah, I guess really quite honestly, and I already said this, but I think one of my biggest tips is to trust the training that you've done all year. You know, trust what you've been working on and the exercises that you've been schooling to get you to the place you're in now.
Yeah.
To continue that way and not feel like you have to change everything. And that's not easy to do, but I think that's my biggest, you know, piece of advice from regionals to nationals moving forward.
I love that. No, I think that's great. Awesome. Well, Carrie, as always, you're just such a pleasure to have on. You're such a bright light to the sport. Thank you so much. How can our listeners find you online if they have any more questions for you?
Yes. Yeah, so I am on Facebook. I'm not a huge social media girl. I need to get better at that. But I do have my website, wilsonsporthorses.com, or you can find me on Facebook. Wilson Sport Horses has a page too.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And we're going to be cheering you on, girl.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you guys there too.
Got it. So Megan, book club, we have coming up this month our book club discussion with Jack Ballou on 33 strength and fitness workouts for horses. Ooh. Very excited. So everybody kind of keep an eye out for that. As always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guests on our page at horseradionetwork.com. Just search Dressage Radio Show. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com, and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com, and my email is lindenhoffllc@gmail.com. We'd like to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and Chewy. If you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the auditor program found at horseradionetwork.com. Keep on kicking on. Until the next show, talk to you soon.